Okay, so today's topic, which will be the first in our series on assorted Ebenezer topics, is kahuna status determinations, which go in two directions. There's the old corny joke about the guy who wanted to be a Kohen, asked the rabbi to make him a Kohen, and then he realized that his father's also a Kohen. But in the other direction, there are nowadays more people who don't want to be Kohanim because they want to marry Grusha, they want to marry Gioras, they want to marry someone who's a Surah Kohen. And then they come to Beis Din for an opposite determination that even though there may be basis to believe that they are a Kohen, they want the Beis Din to determine that they're not a Kohen. So we'll talk a little bit about the Ne'amonus in each direction and what are the criterion for making such determinations of Kahuna status. So this is a sugya that begins with the Gemara in Ksubas Daf Kaf Dalet and Daf Kaf Hei. Let's begin by looking at how the Rambam quotes this Lahalacha. The Rambam is in Perek Yud Gimel Isurei Biyah. Sorry, the Rambam is in Perek Hei Isurei Biyah Halacha Yud Gimel. Let's pull it up here on the screen. Okay, Rambam writes, Misha Bab is Manazevi Amr Kohen Ani. Eino Ne'aman. So if a person comes off the street and he claims that he's a Kohen, he does not have Ne'amanus. The Ein Manus Ol Kahuna Al Pi Atzmo. The person doesn't have Ne'amanus to represent that he is a Kohen. V'lo Yikra B'tar Rishon, he's not entitled to the first Aliyah. V'lo Yises Kapav, he's not entitled to Duchen. V'lo Yochal B'kotche Agvo Atchi Elo Eid Echad. And he can't eat from the Manus Kahuna until he has an Eid Echad that can testify that he's a Kohen. Aval, Osir Asma Begrusha Bezon of a Chalala, Veinu Metam L'Meisim. However, because of Shavi and Afshe, he is allowed, or he is empowered, to accept upon himself the Chumras of a Kohen, to be ushered to the people that are Asuos a Kohen, to have to be Choshesh, not to be Metame L'Meisim. The Abnaso Nitma Loka, to the point that, because of Shavi and Afshe, you can even bring upon yourself a Chiyuv Malkus for violating Isurei Kahuna. The Magen Mishnah, their comments. Let's expand the view. There we go. Magen Mishnah comments. Mavur b'mishnah sham sheinu neman al piatzmo. Kaz rabbeinu v'likar b'tar bisho nupashet hu. Sheinu neman mishadavar al piatzmo. He has no nemanos without any edus to be maxing himself as a Kohen, with the exception of Shavei Anafshe. Okay, so that's the Rambam in Isurei Biyah, Perek Hei Halacha Yud Gimel, and that is the psak of the Mechaber in Perek Gimel, sorry, in Eben Ezer Siman Gimel. One second, my computer's playing tricks here. Where do we go? There we go. So Mechaber writes in Eben Ezer Siman Gimel at the beginning, Misha Bab is Manazev, the Amr Kohen Ani, Ein Neman. The person claims he's a Kohen, he has no Nemanos. The Ein Malin Osol Kahuna Al Pi Atzma. V'lo Yikra B'tar Rishon V'lo Yises Kapos. That's the Rambam. Says Rama, V'yesh Omrim, the Neman Likros B'tar Rishon. Elisa's kappa bismanazet. The Beis Yosef quotes from a Ramach, that's what the Ramach quotes here, Yesh Omrim, that nowadays the stakes are lower. Nowadays, a Kohen has ne'amanus to represent, or a person has ne'amanus to represent that he's a Kohen, to get an Aliyah, to Duchen, She'ein Lanu, Truma Daraisa. Nowadays, we have no Truma Daraisa. And so we're not choshesh that his ne'amanus is going to possibly bring to any the araisa ramification. So as long as we're not noheg to give truma to a kohen, then the stakes are lower, and the person has ne'amanus to represent that he is a kohen, even without other Eidos. Okay. And then the Mechaber writes in Sif Beis, But if you have an Eid Echad, then Eid Echad doesn't neman is even to be machal truma of lukas with arvisha v'lisas kapav. Afilo aviv neman alav. So the Mechaber paskins that even though the Mechaber doesn't have the distinction between bismanayim and bismanazeh, that you don't have neman is to self-represent, but Eid Echad is sufficient for that representation. Okay. The Beishmo raises the following question in Sifkatan base. It's a little easier to read from the Bar Ilan than my share screen on the Tzura Sadaf, so let's read it here. Beishmo says, Velisas Kapov, Baran Bimagil Akosvashisas Kapov, El Akosvashikari Batorah. So that Nafkamina that he would have Namanus, or nowadays would not, or the Yavin Kamod would not have Namanus. In Shulchan Aruch, he says, in the same breath, to get an Aliyah and to Duchen. The Magen Mishnah only had to get an Aliyah, not to Duchen. Holvi and Isser Medavar. Ali says, Kappa of Yishalom Mar, the Asr Hudiga Isser Medaraisis. Even if you're going to be Makel to allow self representation, the Inyan and Aliyah, that's only true where the stakes are derabbanan, but the isser of a zar duchening, maybe an isser deraisa, the chsiv kosa varchu, attempt to varchu below zar. Okay. The kasha la rav ramah, the matuli says kappa, but the ramah puts them in the same breath. Ramah says that nowadays where the stakes are lower, you could even duchen, the chen hikcha bechalkas bechokek. The zar glomer, the ramah, chwea came, be the kasva around ramag, vishem ramach, minach shalana laha mina likra batara. So no, even if it's true that the potential consequence of a zar duchening might be a violation of Dindaraisa, but since there's no hana involved, we're not choshesh that a person is going to violate an iser if he's not going to get hana out of it. Mishum hachi lo chashin l'shem davar al shem yachol b'shumas. They're only concerned that if truma is daraisa, then maybe he's going to violate that daraisa l'hana asa. But duchening, where there's no hana, we're not concerned. Okay. Then he concludes, v'klal sh'olim yidim elu hu l'inyan yuchsim l'kuli alma b'inan shnei edim k'sherim. But when it comes to matters of absolute yuchsim, you need to aid him. So Beit Shmuel makes a distinction as far as the ne'amanus that we're less concerned, even if there's a potential violation of an issa deraisa, we're less concerned that a person is going to misrepresent if there's only hana involved, if there's no hana involved, even if maybe a matter of kava. Tshuvas Chasim Sofer, Kobis Tshuvo Simin Samich was asked about a situation where there was a seemingly orphaned boy who was raised by a local chazan. And the local chazan treated him as a kohen, even though he wasn't himself a kohen, because he said that the biological father was a Kohen. Over time, people were skeptical as to whether that was indeed correct, whether he was making an accurate representation about the yuchsin of the sun. And the shaila was raised to the Chazon Sofer whether the adoptive father has an amanus to represent that the son was a Kohen. So the Chazon Sofer makes reference to the Beis Shmuel, that the Beis Shmuel posits where there's nothing to be gained from the kahuna mali l'shaker, and if anything, it's more detrimental to be a Kohen because it closes you out to a number of potential shidduch processes. And there aren't really minus kahuna b'zmanus anyway. And how much are you going to make off of the opinion of Ben? And anyway, it says many people give back the opinion of Ben money. So that's why our general practice is to believe anyone who claims that he's a Kohen and to give him an aliyah, because we don't really view there as being a detrimental or a particular benefit to that kahuna status. But then he says, maybe not. Dayan libi nokef bahani archi yaparchi b'medina zu, ika kasi tuva. But there's another consideration in our parts in his day, that we don't have so many kohanim, lo shchichi kohani, not sure why. V'nogin lahaskir kohen al yantav levarech al aduchen, v'mechabdun orech b'shvil zev. So it used to be there were small communities in Europe that didn't have a resident kohen, and they wanted to have duchening for yantav. So they would hire a kohen to join them for yantav. And apparently people were caught lying that they were kohanim in order to get this this yantiv gift. So apparently there must have been some financial incentive there as well, that they would hire, these small towns would hire a kohen to come for yantiv and pay them some money. So people would misrepresent themselves as being kohanim in order to get that job. The current chief rabbi of Trieste, Italy, was learned in our yeshiva for a couple of years in the smicha program, maybe 15-ish years ago, maybe 20 by now. And I asked him once, the Reishis Bikurim, the famous Reishis Bikurim, his comments that when he visited Trieste, he saw that the kohanim there, duchen b'shomea ka'ona, and that's the whole literature, whether it could be Yosef called Rama Shemei Kohen, the Beis HaLevi. So I asked the current chief rabbi of Trieste whether that still was a minhag in Trieste, that the Kohanim Meduchim Shemei Kohen, only one Kohen would say the Brach and everyone else would be quiet. So he told me that, first of all, even if that was a minhag in Trieste on the time of the Reishis Bikurim 150 years ago, that doesn't necessarily mean that it was a minhag. It could have been a nohu, because all the people in Trieste were Zamaratzim. And the fact that they did something doesn't mean that they had a tradition, that was the way to do it. And then he told me that nowadays in Trieste, they don't have any resident Kohanim who aren't, who are Ksherim to Duchen, Chalalim, or maybe someone who was intermarried. So they would bring in a Kohen from Eretz Yisrael for Yom and Naram to be their resident Kohen to Duchen. I thought that was interesting, but apparently the Chazon Sofer writes that this was a common practice in some places in Europe back in his time, that they would hire a Kohen to come for duchening purposes on Yantiv. So the Chazon Sofer says that even though the Beis Shmuel at face value tells us that you don't have to be Choshesh if someone represents that they're Kohen lenient duchening, in his time, maybe that wasn't the case anymore. In the other direction, what happens if you have someone who is Muchzak as a Kohen, and then because of some other consideration that he doesn't want to be a Kohen, he tells you that he's not a Kohen. So Beis Shmuel addresses this in Sifkat and Zion. The Beis Shmuel writes, the Kohen shenasa grusha the omer deino Kohen. If a Kohen marries a grusha and claims that he's not a Kohen, ain't an amon. So absent any evidence, if he's muchzak as a Kohen, you can't just come wake up one day and say you're not a Kohen anymore. The Kofin Lagarish. So you can't just claim that you're not a Kohen if your Muxak is as being a Kohen up to that point. So what is, are there situations where there could be an Amasla that a otherwise Kohen could tap into to indicate that he really isn't a Kohen. Are there types of amaslas that could be operative when it comes to kahuna steps? So there is a, I guess I'll preface that with the case that we dealt with in the Beis Din maybe a year or so ago, of a person who was going out or interested in marrying a prospective Gioris, and he was Muchzak as a Kohen, but the whole story was that his Muchzakos as a Kohen might have been questionable to begin with. His father was a Baal Tshuva, and the representation, you always have to take with a grain of salt when people are coming with a vested self-interest in proving that they're not a Kohen. They have to objectively verify the source of information they're presenting. But the representation was that when this guy's father became a Baal Tshuva, he was masking himself as a Kohen because his father at his wedding, which was conducted by Reform Rabbi in the middle of nowhere, and the family didn't have any real traditions. So the father's, the relative at the wedding said, oh, you're a Kohen. And then they wrote in the Ksuba that he's a Kohen, but never did anything about that and had no other tradition of being a Kohen. And but he had that in his mind that his father was a Kohen. And then he started to be masking himself as a Kohen, and then the Duchend, etc. And now, years later, this son of the Baal Tshuva, who himself had left the Derech and now come back, wants to marry Gioris and claims that Muchzakis as a Kohen was really based on unverifiable information. So that Shaila has to be broken down into a few components. But in terms of the Amasla question, there is a Tshuva of the Ma'arit in Simen Kuf Mem Tes. Can you have a situation where someone who's Muchzak for a number of years as a Kohen, and can you have an Amasla that could remove that Cheskas Kahuna? So the Shail and the Ma'arit, Ma'isa Shahaya Kachaya, Rabbi Yaakov Kohen Shalom Bachor, then Avram Kohen Shalom, that Tesvav Shanim Shimishim Aviv Achiv Kahuna. So they conducted themselves as Kohanim for 15 years. Hainu Alu Lasefer Likur Rishon, they got the first Aliyah, Vinosus Kape, and they duchened the Chasmu Grosayim B'Shem Kohen, they signed his Kohen, the Chomachim Shayu Omdim Shame Yom and Iskar, Vinaya Bacher, Yaakov Kohen and Iskar, Kiddush Grusha, the Kena, Ashira, Abitzina. So this Yaakov Kohen was Mekadish Agrusha, who happened to be rich, in private. So he married her clandestinely, and then he claims that he's not really a Kohen. And he wants to stay married to her. So does he have any right to claim that he's not a Kohen? Agam Shashimish Kamashan in Bakuna, even though he was conducting himself as a Kohen for many years. So all the Rabbanim were up in arms at this egregious violation of Halacha. But the Ma'arit was asked, is there any basis for an Amasla in this situation? So he writes, Ilu lo ya kohen ela maisa shereinu she'alu duchen v'kar rishon. So that's in the part that we skipped. He talks about the masa suga that we discussed in Hilchos Nida, of Hilchos Nida b'shchein osaha, under what circumstances can a woman retract her claim that she's a Nida. So there, if you already did a maisa, you were loveshes, big day Nidos in public, so then an amasa under normal circumstances can counteract a maisa. Avahacha chazaka gedola ikakan, here it's war. Here, so even if you didn't do a Maisa, but if you're Huchzak with the status of Shloshim Yom, then a Maisa won't work anyway. Plus, he says, the ode, Yiloma Hani Amasla Elehecha Shehuchzak Alpi Atzmo, Aval Kahuna Debayit Echad Vu Atzma Inu Neman Avechizak Alimta. And a masa is relevant if Huchzak Hanidah Vishkein Osar, woman tells her husband, Timei Anilach. So there, the whole source of information was her self-representation. So under certain circumstances, an amasa could work. But where a person's nemanos doesn't create his chazaka to begin with, and at least when it comes to deraisas, you can only be masik if someone is a kohen, al pi echad, and he doesn't have nemanos himself, so then a masa doesn't get off the ground. So he says, Me'ata Isa Shaya Tesav Shanim Bechesed Kohen, Likra B'tar Rishon, L'Nesiyas Kapayim, Chazakehi L'chol Dine Kahuna, Yidarminim Perakasar Yuchsin. He's considered to be Muchzak for all Dine Kahuna, and there's no basis for such an Amasla. That is the conclusion of this Tshuvas Maharit.
Okay.
There was a fascinating psak from the Bate Din Rabbaniim in Be'er Sheva a number of years ago. I wouldn't call it a psak. It was a bezdin of three, and the three dayanim had three different opinions. The case was, there's like a 60-something page tshuva, but to boil down to the thumb line of the case, there were two branches of a family that had no connection for generations. And somehow they discovered that there were two sets of third cousins, one in different countries, one set in Eretz Israel, one set that made it to America. One set of third cousins had been maxed themselves as Kohanim for the last three generations. Another set of third cousins did not act as Kohanim. So how do you deal with that? What's your starting point assumption? If you're looking at, are you looking at the most reasonable explanation? Do you say, well, maybe the branch that aren't Kohanim, so there are Muxak is Kohanim, and the other branch that aren't Kohanim, maybe there was a Chalal two generations back, which is why they weren't Muxak is Kohanim? Do you say that maybe those that are Muxak is Kohanim, since they came from a community in Western Europe where they weren't very religious, so maybe that impugns on that cheskas kahuna. So that psak didn't really come, or the bezdin didn't come to a absolute determination in that case, but they raised a lot of the issues that we're discussing. So we'll come back to Masla a little bit later as far as the case that we dealt with. Ramosha has a couple printed tshuvos that discuss Nemanis for Kahuna, where the source of that Nemanis is from non-religious relatives in America. So Ramosha has one tshuva, Chela Dalid Evan Ezer Simen Lametes, which is originally printed in the Sefer Tam Baruch, the tshuvos of Rabbi Lazarevsky from Philadelphia, which is the recipient of the tshuva. So Moshe there writes, Chelek Aleph Stimin Lametes, B'inyan Echa Shenosa Nachris V'chazer B'tshuva, V'yamar Lo Aviv She'enu Shomer Torah Shu Kohen. So there is a Baal Tshuva who is married to a non-Jewish woman. The non-Jewish woman is interested in Geiris. He's becoming more religious. She's interested in being Megar Kalacha. However, the Baal Tshuva's father tells him that he's a Kohen. If that's true, then a Kohen is obviously a Sura Ligioris. It says here in the Tshuva, Hine b'dvar echad shenasa bal Tshuva achre shekvar nasa nachris ayidei eshpaz chavri chabad v'hu mi mishpacha haba mi Zlatopola in 1923, somewhere in the former Soviet Union. They had no connection to religion. Gam Zikano Shabbat from Russia, Shamash Shasham Kaministim, Zachameshanim, and Ispakulahem Gam Baratsalin are vicious. Afin Yabin other Bukhaver, Koshake, Lady Kfir, Bashem Isbarach. So the father, his father came from communist Russia in the 20s. When he came to Shalokhanach Kasbino, Afin Mixas Hadvarim, who asked Mavada Yamehem, Ubakar Russia Gamar Lakan. So the fact that the Baal Shu's father had no Jewish education must indicate that the father's father also had no Jewish education, or at least had thrown everything away under the communists. When we came in Shalachana Chesbeno, Apimitsa Sadvarim, who asked Mavada Yamehem, who bought for Rasha Gamar Lakan. So he must have, the assumption is, already been Porek Ol before he got to America. Bim Kane, Eilor Shum Neman, Islam Shukoin. So the whole source of the representation that he's a Kohen is from this non-religious grandfather. He has no nemanus. Ubiprat shulo shama zem mizikano shulai lachol pachas lama becheder konim shasheltu kamenistim. So the father didn't hear from his grandfather. Avshav arei Ukraina hayusham harbi chavshim omizman shnas harivios vachamishios lemeizu lemispar umos shayazeb shnas tafri samachdalid. So it's a better chance that the great grandfather of the shoel might have been from a learned cheder, even though the maskilish influences were present there even before the revolution. So Moshe says that given that the whole source of information is from the grandfather who was not himself religious, and this question, and no one heard it directly from a great grandfather, may not have been religious. So since the guy already is involved with this non-Jewish woman who wants to be a guy and they may have a kid, let it be. The Av Shemlon is Gaira Ishta Pam Shne Ezorav Charedi Enge Rusaklum, Babash Shinodo Enem Eschachesoslo, the kid's not Jewish. Pikomokam Vadi Ishlacha Sheyachsu Lusuro, Ubishvil Shakasha Shabami and Asher Mishaim, Shainam Neman Klal, Enlo Osman Kosman Shainlo Yidim Ish Kasher, the Aflachus the Chachilim is of Kani Tuva, Hugo Hosim Ruba de Ruba de Enem Kohanim. But maybe even if you hadn't been married yet, you could be Makel, because the Ruba de Ruba people are not Kohanim. And if you don't have any firm Yediyah of Kahuna, it's all based on the representation of an irreligious grandfather who didn't keep anything, then you don't have to worry so much. Shivadi lo shayach lasus al chakir drisha, especially since it's not possible to do any further investigation. Fine. So that's our Moshe's shuvah over here, that under these circumstances, the whole Yediyah comes from a irreligious grandfather when you can't trace the Kahuna any further back, then that grandfather has no nemanus to claim that they are Kohan. Similarly, Chelik Dalet Simen Yud Aleph, which is an earlier tshuva from the early 60s, B'dvar Echad Shehichzik Atzmo L'Kohen, V'nisbar Shekol Yudi Oso Hi Mi'aviv, Shebe'ez Shekar Oso L'Simcha Zabar Mitzvah Armishu Kohen, Aval Aviv Ein Hashamar Torah Klal. So the whole basis of representation of Yitzhak Cohen is from the father who got an Aliyah as a Cohen in his bar mitzvah, but otherwise not from. The Gam Shabarachim Beis Aviv Bialdusa Mitzad Mardo Ba'aviv Shalafi Adas Lohayla Leida Kol Kach Dover Kazeh. And anyway, he ran away from home at a young age, so he couldn't have had too firm a knowledge of these things. Shalachain Ein Lo Shem Neman Usa Zeshu Cohen. Okay. So that's Ramosha's Chuvos, that if the Yediyah about Kahuna comes from a non-religious relative and there are no other indication of Kahuna and they didn't have Kahuna practices, then that's not enough to be Masik Salman as a Kohen. If David Cohn has a more robust representation of Ramosha's position, which I'll just show you this letter, that we have written from David Cohn. Lachal dated Beis Nisan Tavshin Samachlov, 2006. Lachal man Dubai Lameda. Hinani Matir Bezah Shalafneke Esim Shana, Dibarti Amaran Agon, Rav Moshe Feinstein Zatzal. So 20 years ago, which would be, well, if it was exactly 20 years ago, Moshe wasn't alive anymore, so more than 20 years ago. Moshe passed away in 86. The letter's written in 2006. Odos mi she niskar liyadus v'shmo kohen o katz v'chadome. That's someone who became Baal Tshuva, and his last name is Kohen or Katz. O she aviv o zekeno shelo hayu adukim amru shem kohanim. Or his father or grandfather who weren't observant say that the kohanim. V'eibim mishpacha mishu aduk she'ein lo din kohen. And there's no one in the family who's connected to religion. There's no one who's connected to religion. Shayla din Kohen, he doesn't have a din of a Kohen. Virasha Lisa Isha Shasula Kun, and he can marry anyone who's restricted to marry a Kohen. Kain Hora Hagram Zatal, Bechain Shamati Mipif. And David Kohen presumably has a stake in this because he's also not a Kohen, even though his last name is Kohen. The fact that you have a kahuna like last name isn't in and of itself indicative of kahuna status. So Rav Moshe's tshuvas in print are somewhat more nuanced and tentative, but Rav David Cohen's representation that he paskins the maisa for people that ask him is a more robust position, that anytime the sole yediya comes from irreligious relatives and there's no one who's religious who has a firmer tradition of kahuna, then you're not choshesh for kuna at all. Rav Avadya has similar orientations. Rav Avadya's other kulas that he throws into the mix in some of these situations as well. Shuvas Yabi Omer Chelek Zayin Evan Ezer Simin Tes. The Shaila was a young lady came to get married, and both the young lady and the young man were originally from Tehran. The mother of the young lady claims that the father is a guy, but the mother is Jewish. Okay, if that's the case, then Aviv Akam Babas Yisrael, we assume the Vlad is kosher, but Asur LaKohen. So if that's true, that the father is not Jewish, then this young lady would not be able to marry a Kohen. And the Bacher claims that he's a Kohen, because his father told him he's a Kohen. However, when the Bezin questioned the father, he said that, yeah, it's true that in Persia they called him Kohen, but he doesn't really know if he was a Kohen, because he never went to Shul, except for Yom Kippur. And when he went to Shul in Yom Kippur, he didn't Duchen. And he was never maxing himself as a Kohen in any meaningful way. They asked him, did you do a pidyon haben for your son? Meaning, if you weren't a Kohen, you presumably would have done a pidyon haben. But he said, no one in Iran did a pidyon haben. Then they found one aide from the Persian Kehilu who knew the parents in Iran, and he said they weren't Kohanim. But sometimes they gave the title Kohen as an honorific because the grandfather was one of the Chashuvei Ha'edah. So there's no firm knowledge of kahuna. So the Beis Din wanted to paskin based on that, that there's no reason to be choshet that this bacher is a kohen. So they sent it to Rav Avadya for his haskama. The Avadya writes, "Iyanti b'chol chomer shebetik," and the hachlata, and he agrees. He says there's a svek svek alahakel. Maybe he's not a Kohen. And even if he is a Kohen, so maybe passing like the Rambam, at least according to some of the notes that came with the Rambam, that even the product of an Eviv Akam of Babas Yisrael is Muteres le Kohen. The Rav Avadya and other Shuvos raises as a sniff in some of these situations the position of the Marshtam, which is not generally accepted at face value, but Rav Avadya throws it in as a sniff. The Marshtam was of the opinion that our Kohanim we don't have Kohanim Yuchasim anymore, and therefore, as a status matter, that allows for further kulos in how to be Masik someone as a Kohen. Rav Avadya has a couple of tshuvas in the posthumous Chelek of Yabi Omer, Chelek Yud Aleph. along such lines. So there's one tshuva. And Simon Kavav, the story was that a person wants to marry a grusha, and there's no knowledge in the family that they are kohanim. The only thing is that in the father's ksuba, it says that he's a kohen, because the Masada Kedushin was told by the grandfather that the father's a kohen. But the family hasn't been observant for five generations. No one's Sharatar Mitzvos. No one ever with no Hag Minhaki Kahuna, not to be Matamil Mesim, Tadukhin, etc. So Ravadia says that it's Pasha that since he was never Huchzak as a Kohen at all, then and there's no Edus to suggest that he's a Kohen. And even the grandfather, who was the one who told the father of Sadr Gedushin that he's a Kohen, is an apostle, has no Namanus. They don't have to be Choshesh for what he said. And the fact that it says code in the Ksuba isn't critical because Ein Malin Mishtaros Luyochsen. And Lerav for the Milsug, you throw in what he calls the Jewish Harivash and the Marshtam, that Kohanim is Manazar, not Kohanim Vadi, the only Kohanim Safek, so that you could always throw into the mix to be Mekel. Ravida does have a cautionary note in Simon Cafe that if someone wants to marry a Grusha and he claims that he's not a Kohen, so you do have to be a little bit suspicious when you do your investigation, because there clearly is a motivation to claim that he's not a Kohen. So you have to do the proper beaver. But if at the end of the day, the proper beaver indicates that there's no firm yediyah of kahuna, then so be it, and you could be Mekel. So in the case that we dealt with that I mentioned earlier, of the son of a Baal Tshuva who himself was back now and interested in marrying a Gioress, where it seemed that the sole representation of Kahuna was based on something that was said at a grandfather's wedding. So David Cohn, in that case, definitely felt that there's nothing to be concerned about. Rav Schechter felt that way as well, under the circumstances along the lines of Ramosha's orientation, even though this might have been a little bit worse because he was Huchzak as a Kohen. But despite the discussion of a masla we had earlier, but here if it's clear that the masla was well-founded, and even though these people were Huchzak as Kohanim, it was based on a faulty idea that can be traceable, then that may be a sufficient masla, even in this kind of a case. How positive is having a indication of kahuna on a matseva in being a raya for kahuna status? That's a famous story that the Rav told in his 1975 rabbinic alumni drasha that was printed in Light magazine under the title Surrender to the Almighty. The story the Rav told there, which is the reason that they called it Surrender to the Almighty, was of the Baal Tshuva who was engaged to be married to a woman who was a Surah Kohen, who took a trip to see the cemetery of his ancestors and noticed this funny shape of hands on the matzeva, went back to the rabbi to ask, what does that mean? And was told that it means that you're a Kohen and therefore you are Asur Le, whether it was a Grusha or Gioris, I don't remember. So that was the Rav's line, that sometimes we have to surrender to the Almighty. There's no way out of a halachic miniyah, as disappointing and as tragic as that may be. But is that necessarily the case, that Yadayim on a Matseva is fully indicative of Kahuna? So there is a tshuva in Shevet Alevi, Chelek Yud Simon Reish Kafe. Benidon mishpacha bali tshuva sheyesh chashash mivusas Shabbat ulai kohen, vihi kazona, yos ben nisuin nishonim chaisem gai. So there's reason to believe that he's a kohen, and she's a zona, sur la kohen. Imkein yesh mokom shasurim lama zelza, v'gam alabonim shem chalalim. Okay. So in the course of that tshuva, he writes, "V'atalinyan etzem hakuna shel anashim keila." Gam lu yiyya nachon shein ba mishpachas kohanim. In a kvar kasachti bo anyi binyan machlokas hakamonim yuchse kunim bizman hazeh im chazaka gemurihi. O rak begadr safik ba'alma kadas bar shtam that we mentioned. O busof dovar hevesi divir rabbeinu marshal. The karv levadish nisbabalu vim lo kulu rubu nisbabel. Vim lo ro karv lemelsa nisbabel. The many kohanim got mixed up and aren't really kohanim. Both the Chuvah's base Ephraim, El Rasa Lachal, Ben Yoshi Chutzla, Sakran, Yisrael, Yisrael, Lachlapan, Kohan, Chazakahem, they Ben Yisrael, they're better. Aval Be'elu Mishpachos, Shekvar Midoros, Chayu, Chayim, Blitar Mitzvah. So those families that have been practicing or non-practicing Jews for many generations, Be'elu Shayu Me'udam, Me'udam, Be'kibutzim Chilonim, Sheparku Ol, Mikol Mitzvah, Tarbim, and Sena Rabim, they're living on non-religious kibbutzim. They read Marosh Lahatir Shamarai is Fitzer Ashish Bulagbala, the Gamim Hailam Isha Isha Sulay the Kub Kedushin, Abailam Asman Salam of Kirina Shasayam Midas El Lisa. Oh Shalarasul Dasmishpatea Torah. Okay. The Imsham Yeshnam Ksas Dadam Lahakmir Lokem in Nidan Kazah Shahilo Niazah Ba Mitarbis Anoshim Ha'ela. Especially if they came from Russia, as secular Jews. I thought he had a line about a matzeva here. Maybe it was in the other tshuva. I don't see it here, but my recollection was that Rav Vosner has a line that when you're dealing with these types of irreligious people that aren't at all connected to observance, even if they have a understanding that they're Kohanim, and even if they put the Adayim on the Matzeva, that in and of itself doesn't create any halachic proof of Kahuna. And if there's no Eidos and there's no observance in the family, then even those Yadayim aren't necessarily indicative of Kahuna. There was a psak in the Bezdin and Haifa, Tufshin Ayin Beis, of someone who came to marry a woman that was a Surah Kohen, and the Bezdin did its investigation of the Kahuna status and sent their Shaliach Bezdin to the cemetery of this person's grandfather to take a picture of the Matzeva. And the Shliach Bezdin came back and took a picture of the Matzeva that had the Adayim on the Matzeva. Then the person applying to get married himself, who was the subject of this Diyun, came to Bezdin with his father. And his father presented a picture of the Matzeva that had a Magen David on it, of the same Matzeva. So the Bezdin was a little bit perplexed because they had their own independent investigation that had a picture of the Adayim. So they did some questioning, and they noticed in the picture that that everything was the same color. It looked like something had been added. So they asked the father of the applicant what happened here. And he said, well, when they first made the Matzeva, they had a picture of a menorah, and then people told him that wasn't appropriate or wasn't common for a male to have a menorah on the Matzeva, so they changed it and made it into a Magen David. Then the Bezdin produced the picture that they had of the Adayim, And the father of the applicant was forced to admit that he lied to Beis Din and commissioned someone to take down the old Matseva and put up a new Matseva so that they could fool the Beis Din into thinking that they weren't Kohanim. And the Beis Din was able to see through the trick and did not rule in his favor. These things do come up not irregularly at Beis Din, where we are asked to make these determinations about kuna status for people, where the reality is the impetus for asking the question is being interested in marrying someone who is suula kohen. But we have had such cases where, despite the grain of salt that you have to take the representations with, if you're able to firm out with a understanding that there isn't any real halachi basis, the representation of kuna, people have been assimilated for 3-4 generations. There's no indication of kuna on the matzevos, etc. Going back a number of generations, no one was observant, no one kept away from cemeteries, no one got a kohen aliyah, no one duchen. So then that general orientation of Rav Moshe and Rav Avadya, that the fact that there is some vague notion of the family of kuhuna, if it's not backed up by any observance or any evidence, isn't enough to be machzik someone as a kohen bein lekula and bein lechumra. So it's not something that we have every day, but there have been a few cases over the years where Beis Din did feel comfortable making such a determination. If you look through the Abi Omer, especially volumes 7 through 11, there are a number of tshuvas Rav Avadya where different, slightly different conditions in each case, but part of this general orientation of not being machzik someone as a kohen if there's no basis for doing so from any religious relatives. Okay.
Rebbe, can I ask a couple questions?
Sure.
So in the case where a lot of poskim have been makel to let someone, say, marry a grusha because their family is not religious and therefore the information that they could be a kohen is not so reliable, wouldn't we call that suffik? In which case, suffik, I mean, it's a deraisa to marry a grusha. So why don't we say suffik deraisa lochomra? And then after that, if what we're going to do, I understand the need where a person wants to get married to someone who's a suula kohen, and then we have to sort of possible their kahuna. But wouldn't it be more intellectually honest, I guess, to do that for all, for all kohanim to make that determination in their families? And if when people become prum, maybe they should figure out, you know, how reliable their kahuna status is right away, as opposed to waiting until marriage. Why wouldn't we do it that way?
So as far as the first question, it's not, I would say it's very rare that we would come to such a determination that someone who was believed to be a kohen is not a kohen. But if there's really, if you look into it and really there's no basis for, if someone had the name Cohen because when the great grandparents came to Ellis Island, that was a Jewish name that they gave them, but there was no indication anywhere of kahuna. That's not, you don't say Safi derais l'chumra by any Safi kultu. There has to be a basis. And even if you're not Rav Avadya, you don't always throw in a Sfek Veka, but there are different layers of Safik as well. So in a situation where there's really very little evidence to believe that someone's a Kohen, other than some vague knowledge that someone heard from a grandfather. So that doesn't necessarily rise to the kind of suffix that we really take into consideration. Sometimes people, there's a grandmother, a great-grandmother is a Kohen, and someone just had the notion of a Kohen somewhere. And no one really was sensitive to the fact that it's paternal as opposed to maternal. So all the situations, if there isn't much of a basis to go on, that doesn't rise to that kind of a suffix.
I was going to say, my understanding from Rav David Cohen is that, you know, if in a non-religious family, for example, where all the men agree they're Kohanim, they don't really care about that, but they they understand that to be the case, you know, going back to Europe, even if they're not practicing, I would think that would, I mean, without hearing Rev Devin Cohen's position, I would assume that would rise to the level of Suffolk.
Yeah, so he might tell people that himself. So that more robust understanding is not necessarily what we follow at the Besdin. Their emotion as in print is a little bit more nuanced and more specific, but I think Rav David Cohen may tell people that. But typically, it could be it's advisable if someone is a fresh Baal Tshuva, then you should figure these things out earlier rather than later.